How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. 9:21. Hammer, why are we back for the start of the 9 o'clock hour at 9:21? That's your fault.
Can't wait for this fourth hour of the show to last 25 minutes.
Kind of throw me off, JR. I've had pee number four. Five is supposed to come right at 10 o'clock when we finish up.
Yeah. So we'll finish up on time.
Set me up where maybe we meet first and then I can go after, but it'll be number five there on the hour, every hour.
Okay. Just like the news and sports updates, kind of. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, get some of your reaction to our discussion on the Sens. They get set for their final game of the season tonight versus Toronto. A quick update on tonight, the releasing the NFL schedule. We had talked earlier this morning and speculated, it seemed to make a whole lot of sense, that the Thursday night game, the marquee kickoff, well, they call it the NFL kickoff classic, right? The game in which all the eyes, here's the new NFL season. If we can, maybe we gather in the back parking lot for another party to kick off the new year. Of course, it's the defending Super Bowl champions always play and host that game. So it's Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And we looked at the schedule. And we know who they're going to be at home to. And we said, well, what makes sense here? The Dallas Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
That is now confirmed.
Okay.
The opening game of the NFL season will be the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Dak Prescott back out of sick bay on the road to take on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers Thursday, September 9th. Lock it in.
What a nice night for you, JR. Come in, a nice little ass whooping on the Cowboys. The defense of the Buccaneers all over them, and he just sets the tone for the NFC East on opening night.
Burst that Cowboys balloon.
Exactly. The sky will be falling on Thursday night.
Early on. So here are some of the other week one matchups. And again, there's always leakers. Listen, Donald Trump, he always was talking about the leakers, right?
Yeah.
Opening Sunday night game. Bears at Rams. That's not usually NBC has a lot of pull on. They get a real marquee game. And two big markets, Chicago and Los Angeles.
Big time.
A lot of people, you know, the Rams are a popular team. Love the way they play ball. And they got, they got Matthew Stafford now, quarterback.
Yeah.
Bears are interesting if Justin Fields is the quarterback.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that he's going to start week one. Probably will.
Yeah.
They also gave Andy Dalton $10 million. That was before they knew they were going to get the chance to draft Fields. But it becomes an interesting game for sure if Justin Fields is playing. If Andy Dalton's the quarterback, it's much less interesting.
Yeah, but and much like the Giants, though, JR, as you just said, regardless, Chicago's ginormous, the brand, but it does seem a little bit off. And the Rams trying to reestablish Southern California. Nobody's thinking about the Chargers right now, so it makes some sense. And from Fields, marketing-wise, not that it would have mattered as a high pick, and he went to Ohio State anyway, but back to, at least for myself, watching the QB1 show on Netflix that showed him in high school, I just became a huge fan, and myself and the boys, Mira's boys, been tracking him ever since, and where is he going? And I think he initially had committed to either Clemson or Georgia, decided to go to Ohio State, so I don't even care about
He went to Georgia for a year and then transferred.
Oh, he did? Okay, okay. I've been following and even texting with Henry Burris over the weekend, already confirming that I will be coming to Chicago, not just to see a game, JR, but I want to meet old Justin there.
Nice.
I got to get down on the field,
which
has not been confirmed, but Hank did mention...
You'll get right back to you on that.
Hank's term that he used was that drafting him as a job saver. So obviously he's coming in to save the day. Talk about hype, right? And even as you just pointed out, if you feel like, and I guess the Bears will do the right thing, but what kind of crazy pressure do you feel from the networks and from everybody else to now play him on opening night? You know what I mean? This sets up where the network's sitting there and saying, okay, well, we're ready. Justin Fields, let's see you against the LA Rams.
Opening Monday night game. Will be the Ravens at the Raiders. So, again, the Raiders are in their new stadium. Hopefully, we'll have fans there.
Oh,
I know
God,
Philly,
they'll be full.
Philly announced yesterday that they're going to have a full stadium, they'll be booing like crazy.
Oh, Nevada will be full.
Yeah. So, Baltimore at Vegas would be the opening Monday night game. Here are some of the other week one matchups. Hammer, your Seahawks.
Yes, sir.
On the road. In Indianapolis, tough week one matchup.
Okay.
Wouldn't mind them knocking off Indy because Philly owns the Colts' first-round pick this next year, so I need them to lose a bunch of games.
Yeah. They'll take care of that for you. We got you.
Okay. My Eagles will be at the Falcons in week one. Okay. Of course, Atlanta's got Kyle Pitts now. Vikings at the Bengals. 49ers at the Lions. Broncos at the Giants. And here's the Sunday late afternoon Right? So you got your Thursday night game, yeah, you got your Sunday night game, you got your Monday night game. Those are the three primetime games. And always that late Sunday afternoon game is the other game. They like to have a good matchup. So the opening one is Packers at Saints, which a year ago you would have gone, Aaron Rodgers versus Drew Brees. Well, now Drew Brees gone. Aaron Rodgers may not be the quarterback in the Green Bay Packers for opening game, but that's the first late afternoon Sunday game, Packers at Saints.
And really awesome that you gave out the Eagles and the Seahawks. As you know, I'm a lifetime Patriots fan.
I
thought I was next in line here, and you've gone off to about a dozen other games.
I can tell you that Carolina and Sam Darnold are playing the New York Jets, his former team.
Okay.
JR mentioned already when your favorite team is playing. They're on opening day against the Cowboys.
I don't have the entire list has not been leaked yet. I'm sure it will be shortly. I'm going through Pro Football Talk.
Rodgers is going to get an extension, right, JR, at the end of the day? It's not going anywhere.
I don't know.
Way he's talked, how can he go back?
Oh, he can, Hammer. He's just leveraging this point to not only does he, first of all, and the bit of a checklist here, he wants, is the backup quarterback named Love? Is that his name, the first round
Jordan
pick?
Love.
He, first of all, wants to pull a Tom Brady where he wants the general manager fired. He wants the contract extension, and he wants them to trade Love. That's a checklist, Hammer, and that's a big power play that he's pulling. At least that's some of the fun talk in the United States right now.
Okay. I've got your Patriots. Here we go.
Buffalo Bills. Let's go.
Nope. Oh. Steelers at Bills.
Oh,
opening.
That's
opening
a nice one.
Day. Opening Sunday, 1 p.m. In Buffalo.
Fun. Oh, wow.
That will be
Bills
a huge
Mafia.
Game. Bills
Mafia.
They're breaking tables already.
And Steeler fans travel well, too.
Oh, yeah. There'll be a lot of fights.
Well, and how many trips last year? I know it's a new stadium. I know the market's much bigger, JR. Do you imagine how many trips were planned to go to Vegas? And for a lot of people, this is the fun part. Even if you couldn't get into the stadium as a Baltimore fan, like how many people are going to say, well, just going to go out and hang out at the bar? If I can get tickets, I can get tickets. That's a mega draw. We've already seen that with the NHL team.
I think that is going to be maybe, because my oldest is a huge Raiders fan, I've never been to an NFL game before. That might be like an 18th birthday kind of deal where we're hopping on a jet and we're going to go see the Raiders play.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That might be something like that.
Okay, there are money bags.
That might be a keeper. That might be in the old my wife will come too.
The old suite at the Bellagio?
No,
hey,
she's
Hammer.
Going and you're not. It will be actually what's going to happen there, just so you know.
No!
Seahawks at Raiders? Is that the the matchup?
I doubt that would be tough to just a Raiders game, to be there at a Raiders game.
Browns and Chiefs, arguably maybe along with the Bills, maybe the best two teams in the AFC as it sits right now. Are pretty darn a lot of people like the Brownies coming into this year. So Browns at Chiefs, Week One matchup, and your Patriots. Home to the Miami Dolphins in Week One, AFC East matchup. A lot of people like the Dolphins as an ascending team as well. And
old Tua having to roll in and play the hoodie on opening night.
Yeah, but in good weather, eh?
Yeah, but historically, it's been tough for quarterbacks going into there. So we'll see. But so it should be a whole different division. You have faith now that the Jets are heading the right direction, JR?
They have some nice players.
But finally, the division will be a little bit competitive. Hasn't been for 20 years.
Well, you know what? It's what'll be interesting. And once people start, once the so-called experts start putting in their predictions, I think most people predict the Bills will take first in the East, just based on the past couple of years.
Sure.
And Josh Allen is back, and they're just a good football team.
Okay.
But after that, probably most people pick the Jets for last.
Okay.
But they'll play a fourth place schedule as well, and every year you see a team come out of fourth place because they play a weak schedule, and you see these teams come out of nowhere and go, I didn't see that coming. Well, they played a bunch. First of all, they're a better team, and they're playing a bunch of bad teams. The Jets playing a fourth place schedule, but then you've got the Dolphins who were good last year and added a couple more first round picks.
Yeah, for sure.
Gapping on his name now.
Yeah, well, and for my Patriots side, JR, I'm all in as long as Cam Newton doesn't play. That's the only thing. I can't go through that.
Got to go with Mac Jones?
Yeah, I hope so. Yep. I, as I said, I'm not rushing or whatever. But
Jalen Waddle.
It didn't feel like any purpose last year to watch him or to play him. So that's what I'm hoping for.
And the Patriots, right, signed all of those players, spent more money than any other team in free agency, and then drafted the quarterback. And whether it's Cam Newton or Mac Jones, we'll see. But the hoodie did not enjoy losing last year. The hoodie doesn't enjoy losing
He didn't enjoy Tom winning more than him losing.
Maybe you're right on that one. So there you go. So the big reveal will be tonight at 8 o'clock, but there's pretty much all of your week one matchups. Looks like the NFL, like it always does. They're smart marketers, man. Yeah. We take some of their best games. We'll load it up in week one, get people super fired up, get them all in the tent. Yeah. As it were, right away, and then keep them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and real interested from market to market, state to state, JR, just for, as you said, from a crowd standpoint. Which ones are going to be full stadiums, almost full? Sure feel like by the time we get to September and where the United States is at.
Oh, they'll all be open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it feels like they're going to be wide open for business. Which,
they are now. I watched some of these baseball games. Man.
Yeah, that's true.
And look at
that's
the golf tournament. Yeah. I don't think we talked about it. The golf tournament in North Carolina on the weekend that Rory won.
Yeah.
It was one of those jarring, like you're just used to watching sports events with either no fans or a limited amount of fans, and it was like wall-to-wall people there.
Yeah.
And I'm not a passing thing on mass or whatever. Just even to see like a huge golf tournament just shoulder to shoulder was jarring because it's been so long since we've seen that.
Well, and you also in the United States right now, as you get into May, certainly into the South, Jer, it's full-on summertime, right? I mean, most people are like, whatever. I do wonder from an NHL perspective, it'll be really interesting as we get into the playoffs to see, what a lot of the different buildings are going to look like.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll set up Sens and Leafs, final game of the season for Ottawa, as they'll finish up against the team they started the season ago. We circle back 55 games ago. It was Toronto and Ottawa on a Friday night, right? Back-to-back nights. Who'd have thunk it? The Sens came up with a win. There were a few losses after that in the first half of the season, but things have certainly turned to the point where I don't think results tonight matter. They would love to finish the season with a win against the Leafs, but overall, pretty good feelings as they head into the offseason. But we'll talk more about tonight's game, who's in and out, who's out, etc. when we come back here on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back, 9:37. So, we've been hearing some names get leaked out for Team Canada at the upcoming World Men's Hockey Championship. The full list just been released within the last 10 or 15 minutes or so. We won't run down the entire name, all of the names, because quite frankly, there might be some people on this list that you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
That's how somewhat anonymous this Team Canada will be. And again, speaks to the fact of a lot of players. This has been a crazy year with all, everything from jam-packed schedule to, daily testing to everything else to, I don't want to go overseas. I don't know what I'm going to face over there. So probably a lot of players said no. Secondly, because it's being held pretty much, it's next week. So any team that gets eliminated, no teams will be eliminated, in other words, sometimes in years past, right? It's a month after the season ends, so you can grab players on teams that lose in the first round as well. This year, they're just taking it from the teams that have missed the playoffs. So among the players on Team Canada, first and foremost, from a Sens point of view, Connor Brown and Nick Paul are on the team, which is great. In fact, as I look through the players on this Team Canada roster, I think there's a decent chance that Connor Brown might be the captain or maybe an assistant captain.
Wow. No, I mean, super dude. But
yeah. Well, I'm just,
what's the list? Let me hear it.
It's a not very experienced group. Okay. Like the other name, the most experienced name I'm seeing on here right now is Adam Henrique from the Anaheim Ducks.
Wow. Let's start at the goal.
Well, I'll go through the other two local names that people will be interested in. 67's fans. Mikey DiPietro is the third goalie.
Okay.
And Kevin Ball, who just made his NHL debut with the New Jersey Devils. Great prospect.
Yeah, that's
really
awesome.
Like Kevin Ball. Yeah. He has been added to Team Canada.
Oh, that's awesome.
So good for him.
Yeah.
Now,
but as you said, speaks to the whole,
Not on the list from the Sens, we should mention Thomas Chabot. That may be injury related, or that may have been a no. We're not quite sure at this point. Probably find out tomorrow on Garbage Bag Day.
Yeah.
Drake Batherson was another name that was mentioned, and I have to wonder if that's just the same thing as Tkachuk. I don't have a contract. Agent says probably not the best thing for me, because I got to think, based on this list, that Drake Batherson would have been asked.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, even for the year, to have him ahead of Brown and Paul, so for sure.
Okay, so here's the list. The attendees, I went through the first two we've known all morning, right, of the two, Darcy Kemper and Aiden Hill from Arizona, and then Mikey DiPietro. So I got to kind of suss it through here to see who the defense. So Kevin Ball is on here. Nicholas Beaudin of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, yeah, Bodes, yeah.
Okay. Mario Ferrero.
Oh, Mario.
San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
Colin Miller from Buffalo.
Oh.
Owen Power, the top prospect.
Okay.
Braden Schneider, who was a first-round pick of the Rangers last year.
Holy
played on the World Junior team. Troy Stetcher.
Yep.
And Sean Walker.
Ooh.
The Los Angeles Kings.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You sounded like Gord Wilson during some of this Sen season.
No, I...
Ooh, ow.
Hammer.
Ooh.
Like, wow. That poor Roberto. This is why he got the job.
Yeah, he's
they thought he'd be able to sweet talk some people into this COVID, Latvia, season, everything else. Man, you know, and hey, this is for Ball, for Power, JR. Certainly from my perspective, a lot of times if you got all the NHL players, I don't even want to watch. But in the case of both of those guys, I'd be really interested to tune in. So, but that really does. I'm really, as we match up, though, I don't think the Finns and the Swedes and the Russians and, you know, the better teams in Europe, I don't think they'll have a problem. So it's certainly going to be one of the weaker Canadian entries we've had in a long time, if not the weakest.
At forward, Jarrett Anderson Dolan from LA. I've at least heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Bunting has been an interesting story from Arizona. He's actually going to be a Group 6 free agent. He's kind of come in and actually scored some goals. So he's an interesting name. Maxime Comtois from Anaheim. So I looked at his stats the other day. It's been pretty good. He was with the World. Remember, he had the missed penalty shot the year they lost? Remember? And he just got absolutely skewered on social media. I'll admit. And I'm not a Columbus Blue Jacket fan. I've never heard of Justin Danforth. Justin Danforth is listed as a player with the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's 28 years old. I've never heard of him. Have you heard of him?
No, I know the street. I often hear the Danforth and something in
great,
Toronto.
Great food on the Danforth.
Well, on my traffic report. But
can you, Amber, can you give us a hockey DB on Justin Danforth of the Columbus Blue Jackets?
It's unbelievable.
There must be a few Justin Danforths. Give me a second here.
Yeah, he's 5'9", 175 pounds, born 15th of May, so he's about to have a birthday. What's that? Hang
15th
on.
15th of May or 15th of March?
15th of May. He's going to turn 28 in 3 days. That's what it's listed. He's listed with Columbus. There's not that many Danforths.
Okay, well then, it looks like he played this season in the KHL.
Oh.
Maybe he was drafted. I don't see him drafted here.
There can only be one Justin Danforth in the hockey world.
But his birthday is March 15th here. He is 5'9".
Well, and that makes sense, guys.
So who did he play for
in
the KHL?
Did he put in decent numbers in the KHL, Hammer?
Oh, you always love doing this.
Are you not on the hockey DB?
I've got to pronounce a Russian team name here.
Do it.
Podolsk. Vityaz. The old Vityaz.
Yeah, Vityaz. It's a team right outside of Moscow. They traditionally had all the tough guys back in the day. But 55 points in 58 games, that's a good player. So, you know, that, as you are, I mean, if you're trying to round it out.
Saving on the travel bill.
Well, not only that year, but I'll tell you, generally, the guy that's been European trained or played over there, he'll be better than most of the, even some of the NHL players. So, no, those are nice numbers.
Dylan Dubé from Calgary, who was the captain of Team Canada a few years ago at the World Juniors. Liam Foudy. From Columbus. Brandon Hagel from Chicago. Adam Henrique mentioned. Andrew Mangiapane of Calgary. Cole Perfetti, talked about him.
Wow.
Of course, the Winnipeg Jets pick.
Nice opportunity.
Yep. Brandon Peary, who's playing for Chicago. And Gabe Vilardi of the Los Angeles Kings.
Wow.
Who at one point went to CIH Academy.
Yeah. No, boy, that is incredible, JR. I did not expect when you go through, and I'll just go from the Canadian division, think of from Vancouver to Ottawa to Calgary, you know, as far as the players that are Canadian born that could play. You know, you're talking about what? Bo Horvat, Sean Monahan.
Yep.
You kind of go through the list there. Boy, that is scraping the barrel. But hey, for Connor Brown, for Paul, for, like I said, for Ball, I think that's awesome. In the case of Owen Power, hey, good on you. But I didn't expect it to go that low, JR. I knew it would be tough to get players. Now, the next question is, with the tournament being so close, what you've been afforded with in the past is the ability, once the first round is over, I don't know in this case, and I would wonder how many of these guys are saying to, listen, come over and play, but we might bring guys over in the first round. Because traditionally, guys will say, well, no, I'm not going to bother. Like, have you locked everybody in, or are they going to wait till the first round, which would be well into the tournament, right? The tournament's on the 21st.
That's the point I made.
Yeah.
The first round will be Midway, in fact, the Canadian division will have just started.
Just started, okay.
The tournament starts. The World Championships start next Friday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So they're not going to. There's 22 players already on the team and three goalies.
Yeah,
that's the team.
You can't, but you can after the regulation round though. You can switch out players for the medal round. But you would also on the Canadian side, JR. And again, these are the type of tournaments. If you're Hockey Canada, you start to get a little bit nervous about being in the bottom pool, right? I mean, I'm not saying relegation, but you'd be thrilled to be in the top eight going forward
Would you not think that given what Team Canada is going to be, which obviously means there's been a lot of no's, that every other country is going to be getting a lot of no's as well?
I don't feel for Sweden, Finland, and Russia, that generally, we'll see. But because it's close to home, the Finns are right there across from Latvia, the Swedes, the Russians. Now, what else do you really have? The Czech Republic, Germany. You know, traditionally, I would say no. But the other thing that they have, based on the KHL and their own leagues, they can put together a pretty good team. They don't have to be all NHL players. So we'll see. But that's what history would kind of tell you. But from a U.S. perspective, this is where it's awesome for Jake Sanderson. And we have seen this with Team USA in the past. They've taken, the Olympics last time around was all college kids. I mean, you know, they may just load up on a lot of kids that have been part of the USA hockey program.
As we told you earlier this morning, Artem Zub is already a yes for Russia. And Nikita Zaitsev was making his decision today. The rumor was out there that Jake Sanderson will play for Team USA. Again, nothing confirmed. We'll see about Josh Norris. I know his name has been floated out there. I don't know that he said a yes or no. Of course, he's not at the end of his contract, so he would be a possibility as well. So there'll be a pretty strong Ottawa Senators contingent at the Worlds. And as you said, maybe because it's close to home, maybe they won't have as much trouble. But I wonder if a guy like Erik Brännström, even possibly for Sweden.
Yeah, no, you'd kind of look at the whole list and, wonder who would be asked. I would also internally, this is an interesting kind of discussion, when you start to go through these rosters, and we don't know much about Team USA, I wouldn't know. And again, maybe he said no, but I wouldn't exactly say with Jack Capuano coaching that if Colin White wasn't asked, I don't think that's a very positive reflection on where his game is at, right? Do you know what I mean? If you looked at the kind of the talent pool, you would think in the kid that had been part of the program, but maybe he was asked, maybe he turned it down, or maybe he's going to end up going. We just haven't heard about it.
Do you think the coach of whatever team has a lot of say in who he'd like?
You know what? The dynamic's always different how long you've kind of been talking, but there would be no doubt that whoever's running it from the USA perspective would say right off the hop, hey, what do you think of Norris, Tkachuk, to White? You would go through it. You're not going to handpick the guys, but certainly if it's even close, or as a coach, you'd say, okay, we've been talking about this for a while. This is the guys that I know that I've had here in Ottawa that I certainly want to make sure end up being on the team.
Given how fairly anonymous Team Canada is, good ref wondering if, indeed, as we speculated yesterday, does Vladimir Putin get a tap on the shoulder to suit up for Russia?
Yeah.
On a line maybe with Artemi Panarin.
No, that's actually a real good point. Now, the fact that he wants to kill Panarin's family, you know, could be a bit of an issue.
It's problematic.
Yeah, it could be. So,
time heals all wounds.
That's true. And probably the poison has probably gone through the system. Most of the family, they're good to go. That could be a way of them to come together. Trying to think of who would be on the wing with them, or how maybe you have a center that kind of.
You know what? I'm going with a career diplomat to be named.
Igor Larionov would be real solid. Yeah. I think he'd kind of handle.
Peacemaker?
Making sure that Vladdy doesn't get, poison having Panarin's food. Or maybe get it to his hotel room with some of the KGB.
Yep.
So, that chance. But early on, I'll say no. And also, is Panarin's name mentioned?
No.
Okay, because I've gone out on a limb and also said, I don't think Panarin will ever play for Russia again internationally. No, I mean that very sincerely.
I know. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah.
I think that's a given, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I don't think he even goes back to Russia again.
The guy walked away from the New York Rangers for 3 weeks to deal with whatever he needed to deal with, had to do with... political activities back home.
And you got the Russian goaltenders, and you got, I'm assuming that Buchnev is a Russian fella.
Mm-hmm. Pavel Buchnevich.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
949. On Artem Zub, that you said you would go 5 years on a contract extension
absolutely.
For Artem Zub.
Absolutely.
Brian writes, be careful with Zub. Could be the second Zaitsev. It looked good on his first year, signed that big contract. with the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, Brian. You know what, Brian? I watched Zaitsev that year. They did that predicated on, did he have 40 points, JR, that first year?
A lot of points.
He had points, and there was also a bit of thought when he's going to go back. I don't know what was going on there. I look at Zub, and again, I'm not even talking about $4.5 million. I would say on a five-year deal, go 3.5, because he's only at his age as well. What would he be, 2 years away from being an unrestricted free agent after this?
You know, Zub?
Yeah.
No, he's 25.
Yeah, so you have to factor that in. And I just, again, I know it's a 56-game season, JR. When I watch this guy play, I'd just be shocked if this doesn't continue along. The way he is defensively, how poised he is, the compliment of making everybody better from Riley to Branstrom playing. Hey, it's not always, but if I'm hedging my bets, I get out in front of it. I'm really, really confident, and I don't see, for the way Zaitsev plays and the panic he creates, and even was that way in Toronto. Yeah, you can't do it that way. You know what I mean? You can't be gun shy. Not that you're always going to be right, JR, but you can't, you know what? Zaitsev had it. No, I don't look at any parallel there. I'm really, really confident in what Zub provides, and I get out in front of that in a hurry.
Yeah, I'd be more comfortable with 3 years. I'd be more comfortable with a shorter term for two reasons. First of all, it does, I don't think that Artem Zub, let's say he is the same player he is this year, right? Real good, solid player. No doubt is a top four player on the team. I don't know that we're going to see a player that whatever they're going to have to give him after this year on a three-year contract, but he's going to get a healthy raise. There's no doubt about that. But Artem Zub, I don't think, is ever going to be, oh my God, he's so good, I'm going to have to give him $7 million a year
for
3 years,
right
after 3 years. Like, I think, you know, he's not... You get that money when you put up points. And I don't think, first of all, Thomas Chabot's on the team. He's going to always get the first power play reps and be the big points guy on the team. So I think Artem Zub, to me, I agree with everything you said about him. Solid player. I'd absolutely sign him to a contract of some length. But I don't think that you need to extend yourself so far with a player where there is still a tiny bit of unknown that because, you know, the shorter contract, you're going to end up paying down the road. So that would be my take on it.
Yeah,
I like 3 years better than five.
Yeah, no, and I was trying to scan through and I think about unrestricted free agents or contracts. I would look at kind of, hey, Joel Edmondson got 4 years at $3.5 million. You know, you're trying to find comparables.
Yes.
The part with him is just really interesting to, you know, it's a weird circumstance where, first of all, a guy comes over, gives you really, really reliable. And as I said, I think he's a top four defenseman. Now, he can compliment, but man, it's just rare. Like, almost all these guys are coming over and putting up big points. So slot him in wherever you think. But as I said, I'd be comfortable to put him into the right spot, make sure I've got that solidified that doesn't bite me at all. And I'm not even worrying about the money necessarily, JR. I'm just worrying about in a couple of years that he does have the freedom to go and sign anywhere else. That hey, maybe it's not a money thing. That, you know, he doesn't want to. He doesn't end up staying in Ottawa.
Oh, that's man, all. We got a good Russian pop. Yeah, I know a few Russians in Ottawa. They're good people, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Artem, the new Artie party. He will be the new Artie party of next year because Anisimov will be gone.
Yeah, that's true.
So he will take over the mantle of Artie party. And if he needs to, I can find him some good Russian parties.
Yeah, still going to have the daddy hanging around.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about him.
How could you?
I know. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Who was the most pleasant surprise for the Senators this season? And again, we kind of fumbled around with the words. We couldn't really find exactly something that we agreed on. So pleasant surprise, we will allow you to define what pleasant surprise means. For me, it means from the start of the season to where they are now. For others, it could be what your expectation was going into the season to what it is now, which can be different. Like mine was start of the season, first 10 games to where they are now. Anyway, here are four options. And it could have been a longer list, but I think these are four pretty good ones. Most pleasant surprise for the Sens. Josh Norris, Artem Zub, Philip Gustafson, Connor Brown are your four choices. Right now, Zub is the choice of 48% of the voters. You guys are both on Zub as well.
Yeah.
48% are on Zub with well over 1,000 votes. 30% are on Josh Norris. My vote was for Josh Norris. He's got 30%. 14% are on Connor Brown. And 8% are on Philip Gustafson. Number of people have said all of the above. should have been an option. Well, if we put all of the above, everybody would have put all of the above. We want you to make hard decisions. That's what this show is all about. Strong opinions, hard decisions. I went Norris. You guys went Zub. We went through. Listen, they're all decent choices.
Yeah.
You can make an argument for all four, but we want to know what you think at tsn1200.ca.
Yeah, and in your beautiful ability with the English language, you somehow changed the rules or the interpretation of what was the most pleasant surprise, but that's okay. You know, that's...
I said, this is the reason we wrote it the way we did, because we couldn't agree exactly how we wanted it, so it's open to open to interpretation. Hammer's got my back on this one.
Yeah, do you want to change your answer or something there, Simmer?
Yeah.
No.
Simmer changing his opinion?
Never would happen.
Never.
Or his favorite team.
Yeah. All right, so Zub, Norris, Gustafson, or Brown, those are your four options. Who has been the most pleasant surprise for the Sens this season? Let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. We will see all of the above tonight at Canadian Tire Centre for the Sens' final game of the season. Again, it's an 8 o'clock face-off, 6 o'clock pregame show. Philip Gustafson, it looks like, will start in net. Matt Murray, based on practice yesterday, not good to go, not ready. Unfortunately, they had hoped he would be able to play, but he's not ready. So Gustafson was in the starter's net yesterday, so it looks like he will play. And, of course, all eyes will be on the two newcomers to the lineup for tonight. Parker Kelly, NHL debut. Again, this was a player the Sens signed as a free agent. Wasn't even drafted out of junior hockey. And here he is 2 years into his pro career, and he's getting in a game, which is a great feather in his cap. And then Logan Brown as well will make his season debut with the Sens tonight.
Yeah, and not that you give games or because of it, but you look at historically the rookie camp, and I believe for the top rookie or best guy, he's won the Jonathan Petra Award a couple of times, JR. So, hey, you're coming in and reminds me of an old friend back in the past that was undrafted, went into Montreal Canadiens camp, won, I think top fit guy in training camp was my buddy Mike Keane, you know, very feisty player and worked his way along, and you want to be noticed, and he has been noticed in those camps. He's worked very hard at the American League level, and I do think for Ottawa kind of refining or filling out their lineup, got a lot of skill, got a lot of nice pieces. You might not have an opportunity to mix in with Mr. Watson on a fourth line with somebody else as maybe an energy crew.
I'm just looking to see. I wonder if Logan Brown, now that Derek Stepan, right, the last time we were talking about Logan Brown potentially, right, he had to give up his number 21.
Yeah, that's right.
The old Stepper. And then Stepper got hurt. Stepper's gone.
And what did Brown go with? 27?
No, I thought it was 27.
27, yeah.
Does he reclaim 21? Like, take us through the hierarchy there with the trainer, Simmer. Does he get to ask for 21 back?
I would say this late in the season, JR. I don't even know if you go to the league. You have to go to the league and make the change. I think he'll roll out. And I like 27. Back in my day, that was actually a super cool number for a forward. So I think he'll stay with 27. That's my guess. Because, like I say, it's not just about the trainer switching out the number.
Yeah.
You have to go through the league office to make the change.
I'm just on the Sens website right now. They don't have the updated roster with the numbers. Parker Kelly. I'm going to guess Parker Kelly's going to get a training camp number. So he's going to be rolling out there like 46
70. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And no, I can't give him Morrow's number.
Yeah, you get one more finishing off the year. Is this player 6 or 7 that makes their NHL debut for Ottawa? Get a little skate around by himself?
This year?
Yeah, Zooby Dooby Doo. Who else?
Did Zub do it? Hammer, were you doing the game that Zub? He didn't play for the first 8 games of the year. Did
was that out on the road?
Hot lap.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'm wondering now that Simmer mentions it. Was it a road game?
Must have been.
Out west?
Well, it was. I thought it was after. It was in Vancouver. He played right. I almost remember that on my left side of my TV. Watching him defend. Why are you laughing?
You break your TVs down to sides?
No, I just remember looking off to my left and watching him defensively. He was at the bottom left of my TV screen.
All right.
And I just remember thinking, holy crap, this guy's one hell of a defender. He's actually I just remember being pleasantly surprised.
Yes. He has, as you like to say, good feet.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
good feet.
Yeah. Anyway. Very good at fronting people and blocking out.
He started in Edmonton January 1st.
Was that the January 1st?
January 31st.
All right. Was that the game they lost 4-2 or the game they got wiped out the game before 8-5?
That's the game before they got wiped out 8-5, and he was even.
Yeah. maybe that was the first indication that maybe this guy was a player. Remember that? That was the game they were down like 8-2 or something.
They got
a charitable three spot in the third to make it look like it was a game.
Yeah.
That was the worst. That might have been the bottom right there.
Yeah.
Like that was at that point, whatever they were, 1-8-1, and you're going, oh my God, they might not win 10 games this year.
That was in the embarrassment zone. Then they settled at that final game, and then through the switch of players, through the switch of system, through the switch of some better goaltending, found their way back to respectability.
Lloydie's all over it. 27 for Logan Brown. He said, and how about me? Wild stab in the dark for Parker Kelly. I said 46. I was off by one. You'll wear 45 tonight.
Nice. Good call.
45.
Good call. What a great digit.
I'm not sure I'm a big fan of 40.
Is that a linebacker in football?
40, no,
that's
no.
Like 50s, isn't it?
Yeah, linebackers are 50s.
Now, they've changed that rule in the NFL, right,
Jer? Yeah, skill position players. And it's going to be interesting. There's going to be and now we're down another rabbit hole.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really popular players in the NFL, especially receivers and running backs, who are going to be able to go back to single digits they wore in college.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
you're going to
okay.
see, which they couldn't. Only quarterbacks and kickers were allowed to wear single digits.
Oh, okay.
Now, like a number one receiver on your team can wear number one, or a running back can wear number one.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a little bit different as well. Tom Brady thinks it's bad for football,
he hates it.
But he's a whiner.
That makes me like it more.
All right, 10 o'clock. That'll wrap it up for us. Thank you.